Blog Talk Radio.
Out in California, Miss CJ. Miss CJ, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I know you like. He put me on the spot. He put me on the. I know. And area code 219, Michelle Colvin. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And yourself, sir?
I'm doing great. This is weird for me, like I was trying to say before we came on. We talked before the little thing jumped in. I never do a show on Sundays, praise God. I never do a show on Sundays. But, I mean, I was so, like, when I first heard one of your songs, I was like, man, I am feeling this. You know what I'm saying? Because R&B today is really a lot different. And you're bringing back, it seems like you're bringing back real R&B, something that I can hum in my head, something that I can walk out of the room and actually remember, you know, instead of saying, it goes like this with a rhythm. You know what I'm saying? A made-up melody like a lot of artists are doing now. They're making up melodies on top of songs and the melodies don't even go with the music per se. You know, not everybody, but a lot
right.
of them. And yours,
right.
I can walk out and go and keep singing it, you know, even though I can't sing for sure, but I can go on and hum it and get it out.
Right,
matter of fact,
right.
one of the, I'm in Virginia right now. I'm from Atlanta, and I live in Atlanta. I said I'm in Virginia in Newport News, and
okay.
we're recording 39 tracks. I do music as well. Awesome.
Okay.
Yes. I make beats and I do songs. I had one of my artists, Gina L, in here just a minute ago. And I said, I got to do this interview with this artist that's from Gary, Indiana. And she was like, well, let me see and let me listen, you know, nosy. You know.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay. I went to one of your tracks and played it. And she was like, I am feeling that. And we were getting ready to work on another track, right?
Uh-huh.
And so she humming your track in her head. I said, look here, don't get it crossed up when we start recording now. Talking about,
goodness.
She up there singing, I want some whipped cream on it. on it, and nigga, please. We ain't trying to have all that. She's like, I need to chill out. She, and that goes to show that the soul be in your head. You see what I'm saying? So I want to know, first of all, how did you get started doing music?
I got started really when I was younger, in grade school, in Williams School. My music teacher, Miss Naylor, she was playing the piano, and she wanted us to, you know, do a school play, and so everyone's, you know, joining in and singing, and I was already singing in church, which is really my beginning, with the Rosa Jackson Youth Choir. And so singing pretty much was kept to church. Singing in school was like the first time I went outside the church. So she was playing some chords, and as she was playing it, I just, whatever she played, I would harmonize with it. And I guess which was, I guess, unusual. But for me, it was just, you know, natural.
Natural.
So from there, she pretty much wanted me to come to her home because she did piano lessons, and you know, I you know, it kind of flourished from there, and then church, and then when I went to college, the church choir, BVO, Black Voices of Inspiration at Purdue University, and then from there, I met up with a gentleman by the name of Willie Lee, Janai. And I did my first original song with him called Hold On. Got a Billboard Award. And pretty much I love music. My parents love music and, you know, grew up listening to what they listened to. So, of course, Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. I would sneak downstairs and go through their records and listen to them and whatever I was feeling. And, you know, at that young age, you don't know what you're singing. But, you know, I just knew I liked the melody and I liked the voices. So I really liked Gladys Knight's voice. And her songs would really touch me. And from there, like, presently, I don't really listen to radio too much.
Sound like me. You sound like me. I don't either.
Yeah, it takes away from my creativity. I kind of like to stay in the vein when, you know, music was real. So I pretty much listen to old school. And, of course, there are certain artists out there that, you know, catch my attention. You know, your Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, things of that nature. But for the most part, I kind of stay to myself and try to stay true to myself. And melodic harmonies are what I really focus on. Now, I do like the hip-hop beats that they have, so
right.
I just pretty much take that and then I just sing over the top of it, and I guess that pretty much gives you Michelle.
Well, I'm telling you, like I said, when I first went and listened, I was like, I stayed on your page for a while. There's a couple more cuts. I'm listening to this one, too. I'm listening to I Don't Like One. Well, I listen to them all.
Thank you so much. I feel the
combination of the beats and your lyrics and your singing. And you have some realistic, just real lyrics. Deep down, they're just real. That's all I have to say there. They're very real because every time I listen to one, I go, wow.
I like to talk about real life and what's going on because, you know, back in the day, that's what it was about, talking about real life issues and going through people's emotions, what they're feeling, you know, songs that come from your soul. And that's pretty much what I do, and that's why I don't listen to radio too much because a lot of the songs, I don't think it's the artist's fault too much. It may be, but I think, you know, labels want to pump out, you know, what sells, or, you know, they're not interested in the real. So
that's why you got a lot of saturated stuff out here. More or less, everybody's doing the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
And talking about the same thing. Because yeah,
me
being a poor little African American person, I don't want to hear about people making all this money when I ain't. So, I'm saying that.
So true.
I know Sherry
so
is
true.
Laughing. I got Miss CJ on mute, and I know she's laughing. But yeah, I'm
it's
serious.
True.
Keep all that. I might. You know, I don't want to hear all that bling bling and you driving this
right.
and you wearing these different kind of clothes when all I get is Wranglers, you know.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. It's true, though.
What was on your mind since I was singing Whipped Cream on it? What was on your mind on the song Hot Chocolate? Hot Chocolate. It was a hot chocolate is a hot song. So what was on your mind on this song before I play it?
I was
following you all the way to the end. You dropped me off at the bridge like George Duke. So hot chocolate, explain that.
I was told, okay, I'm putting together a Christmas album and I've got like certain songs that I've got on there. I was actually told by someone, that's not a Christmas song. I was like, it is to me, but
it is to me too. Yeah.
No,
that's for real. I'm agreeing with you because, I mean, like you said, you write about the real. So hey, hey, it was Christmas time.
Right.
So, you know,
I was thinking about being back at home in Gary, Indiana, and you know what. Some of my friends or, you know, people back at home would be thinking about, you know, if you got a good man and he's getting you ready for your Christmas party, you know, after work. Because, you know, when you work and you have those office parties, you know, you have that special man that's like, okay, baby, you know, I'm a shovel of snow for you, get you ready so you can go. But he really doesn't want her to go because he wants to spend that time with her. And, you know, that just came into my head. And, it just kind of came from the heart, you know. So the music, of course, puts you in the mood. And that track was produced by Aaron B. From Chicago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the track will just take me there, you know. So it'll have the subject matter in it, and it just brings it out. But, yeah, that one, you know, it's just been real, you know. And then, of course, I had to... ended up with a little playful because I'm just goofy anyway, so.
Hot Chocolate by Michelle Colvin on ATL.
Hot chocolate.
He wants some what do you want?
He wants some what do you want?
He wants some what do you want?
He wants some what do you want? worries about. The temperature is dropping slow. He wants some whipped cream on it. This flurry's all about. This flurry's all about. He's a good man. He wants me to enjoy myself. He's a good man. He put the kids in the bed all by himself. So I asked him, is there something I can do before I go? I asked him, is it something that he wants before I go? He wants some hot chocolate.
Well, actually, I went to the studio the CRC studio in Chicago to mix a song. And one of the owners there actually put me in touch with Aaron. And because some of the tracks that I was using, I had some samples in it. And he told me that I should use original music. So,
yes, Lord.
Yeah. That's when he put me in contact with Aaron, and he was like, this guy is a great producer. And I got with him, and Aaron is an excellent producer. He's, I mean, his tracks are so emotional, and they have so much, what's the word I want to use? They have so much depth to them and so much texture to them, you know, that it's not, you can tell he just didn't go in there and just plucked down the piano or whatever. He put his whole self into the track, and so it's like it's really easy to write on the top of that because it's just so it's so deep, you know. So
and you're
I love
chilling
working
it,
with
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Go on.
Okay, I was saying he's a producer I work with. Another one, James, the Chameleon White. Mm-hmm. Another producer I've worked with on some of my more jazzier tracks, working on an album with him as well called Dasani, and working on my new one, Evolving, and then working on another outside track. I'm doing actually a couple of songs from from the movie The Color Purple, just my own little rendition of some songs that I wanted to do because I love the movie so much, and there were certain parts that I thought should have their own song. So I got that going as well. So I pretty much stay busy.
Of course. That's why we got you on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know.
Absolutely. And I thank you so much.
Do you like writing or actually performing it better? I mean, it seems to me that you could write for anybody once you get to know them a little bit and know, you know, how that person is, and you probably could write, you know, some lyrics for anybody, or, you know, just as long as you got the music in the track.
Yeah, I can write for it. I've written for one person that I can remember, and that didn't actually go too well because of the type of artist they were. So I would have to know the artist and
right.
be familiar with them before I could write for them because of the type of style that I write. So, I mean,
right.
it's nothing that I've gotten into. But I would like to, but I definitely would have to know the artist and know something about them because when I write, it's like emotional. So
yeah, it's the same for me. I got the people that I do write for, I've been knowing them for years. So
uh-huh.
you know, I know they can feel it just like I'm feeling it. And I know they would love it too. You know, so
right.
I mean, it's easier when you actually. I guess, have a relationship or actually know the artist that you're working with in order to write for them. But, I mean,
right.
you to me, I think you write some good stuff. So I would assume once you get to know them, you probably could, you know, they probably wouldn't even have to worry about that. It's just
right.
after you telling them how to actually arrange it and, you know, you put it in motion for them, I bet they could go right off the top, right with it.
Right.
Just, yeah, you'd be at the Grammys talking about it. I wrote this.
Yeah, it's been the opposite, too. I've had people who want me to sing their stuff, but if I don't agree with the subject matter or I'm just not feeling the direction it's going in, it's difficult for me to sing that as well. So
yeah.
it's a catch-22.
Yeah, and also I would assume you would be one to listen to the actual music and then, yeah, I can do this, you know, or no, I
yeah.
can't do this. Yeah.
Right.
And that's basically the way I am. People ask me to write for them with music that they got, but I'm like, man, I only really can write the music that I do, but I mean, if they give me a subject and I sit there and listen to the music long enough, I could probably come up with an idea for them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, it's got to be more personal and, like you say, with a lot of emotion. Like this next song that you, this is the first one that I listened to of yours that flipped me out, and I just happened to be on Facebook, and it's called Socialism. So.
Ah. Okay.
Explain this one also as well before I play it.
Socializing, it's basically exactly that. Once I got on Facebook and started talking to people and getting to know them, and then discovering family members that I haven't met for a long time, and, you know, at first I was kind of, I'm not going to say against Facebook, but I wasn't really into it. But once you you start interacting and socializing and getting to know people, it's actually not a bad place to be because of some bad things that have happened, you know, on different sites or you can't use that in that tone. So I've met a lot of positive people, a lot of people who've inspired me, and that's pretty much where I wrote that song, Socializing.
I'm on Facebook, socializing. I'm on Facebook.
Thank you. Canadian, the best radio show on the net today, ATAZP, recorded live. And if you get a chance, swing on over to AustinJeter.com and listen to the second best radio show on the net, the Giggy and Bug Show. All right, y'all stay cool. Peace out.
ATAZP Live, host TAZ, special guest, Michelle Colvin. Hey, I love that song, The Beat is Bouncing. And like I said, I can hum that all the way to the car. I love that song. That one hit me for real. When I first heard it, I said, man, y'all got to check out this girl's page. You know, I was your advertiser there for about a week.
Oh, really?
Thank you so much. I was driving traffic to your page.
Wow. Word of mouth is so much better than paying for advertisement.
So, how many CDs do you have that people can go and get, actually?
I have three out. The fourth one was with Taste Records. That one didn't make it. I'm thinking about putting that one back out. So I'm actually working on the fifth one now.
So you are affiliated with a record company, a label, or is it your own?
I'm with my own right now, in talks with a few people. But you have to be careful because of what's out there.
All your money.
Yeah, and at this stage, I'm not that desperate artist that's like I'll sign anything. So, right now I'm with my own label, and it's so much better to do it yourself because then you have control over whatever you're putting out there. You don't have to worry about, well, we like that, but we want you to do this, and we want you to do it like that, and you know. All of that that makes it watered down and kind of takes away from the real artist and the actual stuff that makes the audience drive you to it in the first place. Because you could have a pure creativity and that drives everybody to it and get a label that waters it down and makes it something else and it drives everyone away, you know, so... there's a fine line between that, and you have to be careful. So, and a lot of people need to be very cautious because, I mean, and I don't want to put anyone out there on the spot. We're on the radio and everything, but I was just given an offer from someone. I'll just keep it like that, and you just have to be careful. There's a lot of shady people out there.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why it's always best. To do it on your own. And I've been doing it on my own for the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
Doing my own music and not having to worry about people telling you what to put out or people telling you you got to keep this image. Like, you know, you can do it. You're the one that's sitting in the room writing the lyrics by yourself. They wasn't there doing that. But yet they want 50% of what you putting out. That's not right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, creativity is very spiritual. I think you can write a song by yourself in a room, and if someone else is in the room, it's going to turn out differently than if you're in there just you and God in there writing it. Going to turn out differently if someone else comes in there and you guys write together. So it's a very spiritual thing, and I don't think it should be just churned out kind of like a production line, you know. Very, very, very spiritual.
Y'all wrote 5 CDs, me being the black president of the United States, and I wrote this before Obama was in office. We started writing that in 2004. Even before he was even considering running, really. So,
right.
Like you said, it's a process where you're thinking by yourself, and why should anybody else come up in that mix and be trying to take the money that you wrote about, the money that should be yours and all of yours, especially
right.
when you pour your heart and soul into a project.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what do you like to do in your spare time? I mean, you know, when you're not working 20 million jobs. Like I told you, you're an FBI agent. She's an FBI agent, Miss CJ, because it's hard to get in contact with her. She's an FBI agent, for real.
I have the only thing I really enjoy, that's kind of my escape, is my music. I've recently had a couple of friends tell me that I'm such a workaholic, I need to learn how to relax and to get into my own personal time. But I have so many things going, it's kind of hard. But, you know, occasionally I'll go out and visit my aunt out in Panama City and go on the beach. And I love being by the water, and that kind of relaxes me. But for the most part, writing is my enjoyment. And, you know, and you being a writer, you can understand that when you get behind that console and you're writing a song, you can be there and you thinking maybe you've been there 2 hours and you've been there 10 hours.
Yeah.
And so the time just goes. So it's not like, you know, like, wow, I just came down here and the day is gone. So,
like when I'm mastering and mixing music too, that's
right.
time-consuming as well. Have you gotten in on that end of the process?
A little bit, but I really don't like it, and because I just like staying in the creativity part of it. But it is a process that you have to kind of get into because it saves you a lot of money. I mean, you can pay anywhere up to $3,000 just to get one song mixed, and if you're trying to put out an album, $3,000 per song, you're not going to make it unless you rock a song.
Yeah, unless you Bono.
So you have to kind of get into it and use resources and learn that part of it. It's, you know, I think it's grueling for artists, but it's something that you have to learn. So, yeah, I have gotten into that part of it. Not that I like it, but...
Well, sweetie, I do my own beats. I do my own beats, write the lyrics for everybody, get with everybody and record like I'm doing now in Virginia. And I already put my vocals on some of the tracks, and they got to put their spots on. Also, I go back and mix it down, master it. Also, I do the whole package thing. So, I mean, I do it all besides doing the creative part. Is the part is putting it together too, so I do the whole thing.
Yeah, there's so much to putting out an album. A lot of people would just be surprised. I'm sure they think you just go in there and sing it and put it out, but there's so much more to it, and it gets time consuming. I mean, not that I don't enjoy it, because I do, but I personally like just going in, singing and being done, and let the people who are into mixing and mastering let their art, you know, take over. Sometimes you can run into someone who doesn't know, I'm not going to say doesn't know how to mix your stuff, but doesn't know what you're looking for. One thing I don't like on my vocals, I don't like a lot of reverb on my vocals. I like for it to stay natural so that they can just, you know, hear the texture in my voice. When you get to drowning it with too much reverb, it kind of throws it. And I don't mind, you know, testing out new things like auto-tune, you know, only to a certain degree. But, you know, if it spices it up, you know, then that's fine. I don't mind trying new things, just as long as it keeps the continuity in the songs, you know. I love doing that.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying. You sounded like Jay-Z, no auto-tune. Death to it. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, I don't use a lot of it. I use some of it, but it all depends on the song. If it goes with the song, it's fine, but it's not going to be like every song or have that all the way through it. It, you know, that's that's where I think it gets lost. It's like, you know, use it as, you know, salt and pepper, you know, to spice up the song, not to drown.
Not like T-Pain.
Right, right. Right.
I know you don't want to say no names, but I just did it. I mean, I like T-Pain, though. Don't get me wrong. I like T-Pain.
Right.
Him.
Roger.
I like Roger when he was using the voice box.
Right.
I mean, that's their niche. That's them. Now, when everybody else started doing it, that's when I was like, come on now. Like, back in the day, you couldn't. There was a word called bite, and biting it, you biting my style, you copying off of me.
Right.
And that was disallowed in hip-hop at that time. But now everybody can copy off of one another, and it's cool.
Absolutely. That's just what they do.
That's the weakest excuse to say that I'm making music I've ever heard in my life. I'm very passionate about that, and it gets me stirred up. So let me get some anointing oil. Go on, say what you
I can hear that in your voice, but back in the day that wasn't, you know, something that you did, and now it's, like I said, it's just a big production line, and they're just, you know, filling in the orders and shooting it out there. There's, you know, the creativity is starting to take a back burner, and I think that's where you lose a lot of creativity, a lot of important things in music, because music is such a powerful thing. You know, you have to be careful how you use it. You know, it should be there to inspire. You know, of course, there's going to be songs that, you know, if you're angry, you can feel that anger, but it's such a powerful tool. You have to be careful, and if all you're feeding everyone is garbage, I mean, and then they're listening to garbage, you are what you eat, you are what you listen to, and you begin to be a product of that. You know, that's just my belief, though.
I'm glad you said that. In that way, I'm gonna play that. I haven't heard any of the last three that you sent me, I haven't heard any of. I mean, I might have, because I do, from time to time, when you put it up on Facebook, I do listen to what you put up. So this is called, I believe, and I heard this song, but I'm going to see once it's played. In That Way by Michelle Colvin.
His heart.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Thank you.
I'm already succumbed to the fact that we're on the same vibe. So anything you sing, you could be singing without a beat. I'll be like, I'm feeling that. So I already, I'm already programmed. I'm already on it. I mean, I like that song, though. I really do. It's very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought you were going to say something. That one is again, Being Real. That was about an ex-boyfriend. He knows who he is, and that's pretty much how it ended up. So, just wrote a song about it.
For instance, I wrote 6 CDs about me being the black president of the United States. Had an affair, got caught with the woman, got divorced from my first lady. I'm still in the process of writing year number 8, which is the last few years. So I'm just saying, I write fictitiously, and then I write about things that actually happened to me too as well. But do you find yourself, if something happens, do you think that's going to be a song, or is just weighing heavy on your mind? So when you do go on that creative process, it's just there. You understand what I'm saying? And you got to write about it.
I think it's like a combination of real and what's going on in maybe some friends of mine's life or what's going on in everyday life. And then I've had days when I listened to a track and I loved it, but nothing would come to me. And then, say, a year later, it would just click. So
yeah.
It's different. It's different each time. I try not to rush it. I try not to rush it. I used to rush it, but now I don't rush it. Because you lose quality in that too. Because there's some things that you may leave out. I kind of nurse them now. I mean, I can write a song in like one day, but if I take my time, I can really, really get into it and put things in there that that the listener deserves to hear.
Right. I write pretty fast. I mean, I do a beat probably about 10 minutes. And if I'm feeling that beat, I'm gigging to that beat, I'm like, boom. The song is right there already in my head where I can just write it right there about 5 or 10 minutes. Because I'm just gigging that beat. Now, like you said, you can listen to a track and not feel it until a year later. But I've actually listened to a track and a year later I go, at first I'm going, that track ain't hot. You know what I'm saying? I made it. I put it in the catalog and leave it alone. Somebody come through and want to do some music, right? So I let them listen to the beats. And they listen to a beat, which I've said that wasn't hot. Then, of course, when I play it, suddenly it's hot. Wow, how this beat blew up when I wasn't playing it.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going, man, I love that beat. I'm like to myself, I didn't even use that beat. Why didn't I use that beat? I must have been crazy then,
Right,
so I understand what you're talking about. How it just pops up.
Yeah, you have to be ready for it. And then, sometimes it could be just wasn't ready for it. Everybody wasn't ready for, I'm just using this as an example, but when Orville and Wilbur were talking about flying, wasn't everybody ready for that?
You're right.
And now, it's unheard of to not be able to fly, so you just have to be ready for it.
Just like when Prince first came out, and I'm going to tell you straight up, I love Prince, one of my favorite artists. But when his album first come out, it's going to take me at least 2 weeks to get used to it. And then after that second or third week, that's going to be the jam. I'm going to be like, I might have some right away. that I'm going. That's it. But
right.
then later on, as I listen to the album, because it's going to take me 2 weeks, he's the only artist that's going to take me some time to go, I'm really feeling that. Because when Purple Rain came out, that first week, I was not feeling that. Not
really?
Even. The only song I liked on there was Nicki. And that was my
song.
When you
first heard it, did you watch it at the movies or did you just listen to it?
No, I had to, back then, I had the cassette player and I had the cassette.
I saw it at the movie, so it had like a storyline to it, so you could actually get into it more when you actually saw the visual with that one.
Well, it took me like 2 weeks. I listened to it, and of course, when it came out, I was in Germany. I was in the service, so we just couldn't go to the movie right away.
Right, right.
So then we got a bootleg copy, and I was feeling Purple Rain then. You know, once I seen the movie, listening to it naked, I was like, I ain't feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Prince is such a heavy musician and such a deep musician, and now he's into like jazz and
I got all the
layers. Right.
Oh yeah.
He's got
and very religious too.
Going. Yeah. And then see when you don't have that control, which he had to fight for, you know, putting out the production line. So, you know, but he's got it pretty. Right. You know,
mm-hmm.
You got to be careful.
Well, it's been a joy having you on the show. See how fast an hour can go.
And it's been a joy being here.
And I would
thank
love.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want you to give out your information where people can hit you up and actually get your CDs and get your music.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm mostly on Facebook. It's www.facebook. Yeah, my name, Michelle Colvin, spelled with the N. And then, you know, you can just Google me. I'm pretty much, if you Google me, you can find me anywhere because I've got so many sites up. But I stay on Facebook. Every now and then, MySpace. I'm on SoulCommune.com. It's so many. Most of my music is on iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody. You can get it there. And then any of the new stuff that's coming out, I test market it on Facebook, see what the reaction is. And that's where you'll first get the word of when it's going to drop on Facebook.
Cool. Also, I'm going to say this. Like I said, you're one of my favorite artists that's on Facebook that I listen
to.
And if you come out with something, I got to listen to it. So, and when I see it, I run to it and listen to it first. And me and my nephew, who's got a radio show, and you have a radio show on Blog Talk as well. You just don't do it as much because, of course, you are a secret agent.
Right.
When you're a secret agent, you ain't got time. You can't let the enemy know where you at. Not for no hours.
Right.
It's
like a special event.
And you also post some funny threads, which every now and then I comment on the thread whenever you post something. Yeah, so I love you for that. Very entertaining all the way around. The last song I'm gonna play is what you think about that. Explain that before we get into it.
What you think about that? It's being very flirtatious. Young lady who saw this guy, she likes him, and she approaches him, and so she gives him a scenario of what she wants to do with him, and setting up a date, and the date is on the 8th of whatever month, and she just puts it out there. She's like, so what you think about this?
And again, thank you, Michelle, for coming in. Again, this is a special night for a special artist, Michelle Colvin. Hit her up, the song, what you think about that?
Yeah,
what you thinking about?
What you think about that? You and me on an island all alone.
What you think about that?
I'm your senorita, sharing the margarita.
What you thinking about?
I feel the ocean breeze from the tree. What you think about that? You're putting roses in my hair.
I see aromas in the air.
What you thinking about?
What you thinking about that? Making love on the beach.
Huh? What?
Stand between our feet.
What you think about that?
Then sleeping in the sun.
Sleeping in the sun.
In front of everyone.
What?
You're my best bet. When watching that sunset.
What you
think about that? Don't you contemplate? We're making this a date. Baby, round the eight.
What I've been thinking about asking you what you're thinking about. Explicit visions of me and you maybe getting out. We're trying new things, we're pouring new drinks. Magellan's on the scene, so let's explore the seven seas. And you the type to settle down? Well, girl, I'm cool with that. A playeristic outside inside a cooler cat. I like when you're around, girl, I could hold you down. But you're from out of town, so text me when you're out of bounds. We're getting love drunk and Cupid serving up them rounds. We connect like four before both our bodies hit the ground. Damn, I can't even think at this point, huh? What? Do work, don't disappoint. But I don't think about that. Nah, I don't have to. I could be real nice or a real bad dude. However you want it, baby girl, I don't discriminate. And I be getting a real hot, so damn, who wants some lemonade?
What you think about?
What you thinking about?
What you think about that?